A lot of ways to be involved in the morning show. You can certainly ring us up, 404-741-0929. Of course, always follow us on our Twitter and jump into the conversations there at 929 The Game. Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line, also 404-741-0929. Our bracket challenge is up at our website, 929thegame.com. And you can click on the contest tab there and fill out your bracket. And we'll be giving you the shout out. As one of our great tweeters, Ellie J, who's a South Florida fan, said, he said, I had 11 and 16 seeds winning last night. And congratulations to him.
Congratulations.
Because there were 2 11 seeds against each other and 2 16 seeds. So pretty good. Oh, by the way, soccer fans, I'm remiss not to mention this, but coming up on Saturday at Carriage Kia in Woodstock from noon to 2, Mike kind of was talking to him about this yesterday. Mike is going to do a show from noon to 2 with Jason Longshore at Carriage Kia in Woodstock from noon to 2. And Michael Parkhurst and Jeff Lorenowitz are going to be there, and they're going to be signing autographs, taking pictures, giving away Parkey autograph stuff. Parkey's going to be part of the show later in our show. Michael Parkhurst will be here, talk about Atlanta United, but that's Saturday noon to 2 at Carriage Kia in Woodstock with Jason Longshore and Mike Connie and Jeff Lorenowitz and Michael Parkhurst. The NCAA tournament last night, yes, an 11 seed did win, and the 11 seed that won last night was Fairleigh Dickinson, and they will get to play Gonzaga tomorrow.
You mean they will be sacrificed? Bring forth the sacrificial lamb. That's
You're
all
saying
that is.
It's a bit of a step up in class from Prairie View to Gonzaga?
Man, listen. Fairleigh Dickinson and, I was about to say Gonzaga, but and Prairie View, pretty small teams.
Mm-hmm.
Guard play, pretty good guard play, but they're smaller players.
Right.
Oh, it's about to be a bloodbath.
You know, but that's isn't that in a way what's great about the first four is that here's Fairleigh Dickinson. They're going to get blasted by Gonzaga. If they just went straight into the tournament tomorrow, they would get blasted by Gonzaga. This way they have you a – they can say now for the rest of their lives they won a game in the NCAA tournament.
No, you know, it was funny because I think it was the young guard. I think his name was Edge, Jaleel Edge or something like that. I might be messing his name up.
I think
up.
It is Edge, yeah.
But John, he said something, and I'm watching it. I'm like, yeah, right. He said, hey, we're just going to get into the game and see what happens. Yeah, we know what's going to happen. Bruh, we already know what's going to happen. Ain't no doubt in nobody's mind what's going to happen when y'all get out there on that hardwood in a couple days.
Our college basketball expert, Deshaun Tate, said he believed Belmont would beat Temple, and not only did they beat Temple, they beat them handily last
night.
Yeah,
that wasn't even I'm glad I didn't waste my time watching that game.
And the Belmont Bruins are going to play Maryland, and Deshaun has them beating Maryland tomorrow in the tournament. So we'll see what happens. And where this will be an advantage for Belmont is you're coming off a win, and even though you're traveling, I don't have the sites in front of me. I don't know where they're playing this game.
Let me look at my list.
Where Belmont is playing Maryland. I don't have the sites in front of me.
They're playing Maryland in
the brackets. My brackets don't have the sites.
What you mean your brackets don't have a site? They're playing in Jacksonville.
Okay, so they're going from Dayton to Jacksonville.
Yeah, that's a nice little trip.
Yeah, which means they're probably flying through here today.
Yeah.
This morning,
connector?
Maybe. Connector?
Yeah,
I think so.
They can't fly. They don't have straight flights to Jacksonville.
From Dayton?
I don't know.
Dayton to Jacksonville doesn't sound like a direct flight to me. Sounds like Dayton to Atlanta to Jacksonville.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That sounds more like it.
And college basketball teams, for the most part, all fly commercial. A lot of football teams will fly charter, but basketball teams, when I was doing play-by-play at Wake Forest or Chattanooga or San Diego State, we flew commercial. You know, I mean, that was pretty much it. Because it's hard to charter a flight, you know, because you only have 20 people. You know,
yeah, I would think that's the case for a basketball team. You just fly together, try to get a grouping of tickets together.
You know, 20, 25 people. Yeah. I mean, it's not like you're taking a football team, you got a charter, because, you know, you end up with 100 people on the flight. You know, the whole team and the training staff and all the coaches and whatnot. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So today we have North Carolina Central against North Dakota State. That game is on our sister station, WAOK. And that's on, I misread this. We have the tournament tonight on 92.9 The Game. So we'll have both games tonight on 92.9 The Game, North Carolina Central and North Dakota State, followed by Arizona State and St. John's. There's so many games going on the family of stations, I have to just learn to read this correctly. This is on 92.9 The Game tonight, this doubleheader for the first four, North Carolina Central, North Dakota State, and Arizona State, St. John's. The winner of the North Carolina Central, North Dakota State game will draw Duke on Friday.
Bring forth the sacrificial lamb.
Good luck with that one.
Yeah, it's going to be a It's going to be another one. It's going to be another bludgeoning.
Arizona State and St. John's playing in the last two teams in to the tournament, and they will advance along to face Buffalo coming up on Friday, where they will be underdogs to the Buffalo Bulls in that game. All right. To your point earlier, because I was mentioning Romeo Langford of Indiana, I got stuck, if you didn't hear earlier, I got stuck watching the NIT last. Oh, now it occurs to me, I'm going to have to watch the NIT tomorrow night, aren't I? And that means I'm going to have to watch the NCAA tournament on my iPad, because the Maven's going to have the Arkansas-Indiana NIT game on the television.
You know, I tried to do that iPad thing last night, John. I don't know how to do that. I am not tech savvy when it comes to things like that. Because I thought you could Google, like, hey, Google game, and it didn't work
it
like
didn't
that. So I need to figure out, I need just in case, because sometimes I tend to watch the game in one room on one TV and then have the game on in another room with another TV on. And it's kind of like they're competing for sound.
I think there's an app for CBS for the tournament.
Okay.
CBS and Turner.
See, I didn't do that last night. I Googled game. I Googled NCAA tournament games, and it didn't.
What's it called? Wait a second. March Madness Live.
Okay. That's the app. March Madness. Okay. Gotcha. Thank you.
And then I have DirecTV, so I just bring up DirecTV on my iPad, and I can watch it there. But so the NIT last night, what a snore fest this thing is. And we were talking about Romeo Langford, the star guard at Indiana. I think he's sitting out and he just doesn't want to tell anybody. But you said, you know, you got to give him a bit of a break. If he plays tomorrow, I'll give him a bit of a break. But here's the thing. If Romeo Langford, because Arkansas's star player isn't going to play in the game tomorrow, he's sitting out. He's already announced it. Daniel Gafford, I'm going to the NBA. I'm not going to play in the NIT. If Romeo Langford just said, hey, I'm going to the NBA. I'm not going to play in the NIT. I don't care. I don't blame him. No. I wouldn't. I mean, it's fine.
But you probably got your teammates there, and they're thinking, you know, you're probably – and I don't know this for sure. I'm just saying he's probably in the locker room, and everybody's excited about going to NIT. Him probably not so much. And instead of him telling his teammates, listen, I don't want to play, and letting them down, he'll just go this route.
Well, I understand that. But with what's happening in football now, where all these stars are sitting out, these bowl games that don't matter because of the Final Four in football, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't blame those guys. I mean, I wouldn't have blamed Zion Williamson once he got injured. He came back, and now it's just changed everything for the tournament, and we're all excited to watch him play. But if he had said, I'm shutting this down, I'm not going to risk injury, I'd say don't blame him.
Well, I would say that you're talking about two different sides of the spectrum when you're talking about that, John Fricke. Zion Williamson had a scenario or situation where he almost cost himself his first season in the NBA. I'm just throwing it out there, being way over the top with it. Who knows? He probably would have just sprained his knee and would have been fine to play. I'm just saying.
Mm-hmm.
But in that scenario, what if it would have been a lot worse? What if it would have been something that would have been something that hampered his first season in the NBA?
Mm-hmm.
So for him to sit out, I don't think anybody would have ever questioned that, because he's undoubtedly the first player taken in the NBA draft. You're talking about another young man who's probably not in the same boat. Who knows what his future is going to be in the NBA? Who knows whether or not he gets in there in a meeting with a team? His skill set might be there, but he might get in there with a meeting with a team and say the wrong thing and might not get drafted. Zion Williams in a totally different stratosphere.
Oh, no. He's like a totally different. Right.
Yeah.
I get that.
So that's why you can't allow yourself to be questioned about anything you do if you're the other guy. If you're Zion Williams, you could do no wrong.
Right.
You're kind of like Kyler Murray in this situation.
Right, except maybe even a hundredfold more, because I can make a case that Nick Bosa or Quinnen Williams is as valuable or more valuable than Kyler Murray, but Kyler Murray's a quarterback, whereas I look at Zion Williamson as the number one pick, and if Ja Morant of Murray State is the number two pick, Hugh, that gap is
huge. Yeah, it's a huge gap, and that's the thing, John. You might say, for instance, Zion Williams going to, say, the NBA has their pro day or whatever, and their teams that want to talk to Zion, and it's like, nah, I don't want to talk to you. Get out of my face.
Yeah, just to
Tell the runner, get out of my face.
To tell me who the number one pick is.
Yeah, that's it. And the other guy says the same thing. That's a story that's circulating around NBA camps.
See, if I was Zion, if there was a thing like at the NBA Combine or something, and I was Zion Williamson, and a team wanted to come talk to me, I would say, sure, I'll talk to you. You're going to have the number one pick? Well, we don't know. Okay, well,
I mean,
that's our discussion.
Listen, guys do it. Guys do it. I've been privy to conversations where I've been walking down the hall at the combine, and a runner, a team's runner, say, "Hey, man,
who was the number one pick the year you came out? Do you remember what year
was it? Kajana Carter? I think it was Kajana Carter.
What draft was it?
95. I think it was Kajana Carter. I think it's Cincinnati.
Kajana broke his leg, which is why he never became a player.
It was Kajana. I think it was Kajana Carter.
It was Kajana Carter. And Kajana Carter was a great college player, just where he broke his leg, running back at Penn State, and was never. And then Tony Boselli was two, and he probably thought he was walking, talking.
You know what's funny? I don't remember running into Tony Boselli at the combine, because mostly it's like you're shuttled in with the defensive lineman and everything.
Well, that's right. That was the Warren Sapp drop draft, right?
Yeah. But I remember being in defensive line meetings with guys. And they'd be like, "Hey, man, I don't need to talk to you. You're not about to draft me. I won't be there when you draft." And I was like, "Okay. All right, then. I talked to everybody today, mama." So I know what that's like. I know what it is to be in a position like that, because I've seen firsthand how guys handle that. Higher draft picks, they don't have to talk to everybody, because they've already been, you know, regardless, they've been told, "This is where you're probably going to go. You're a shoe-in." A guy like me, I remember, like, "Hey, man, you need to talk to so-and-so."
Hey, the Eagles took Mike Mamula, right?
Yes.
At 7, and you went 16 in that draft. I know we're over here for a second. I just said, did Mamula ever remind you that I went higher in the draft than you?
Oh, no, he would never do that.
I didn't think so. He'd never do that. Back to the NCAA tournament here.
What you talking about?
The tournament starts tomorrow. The first game of the 64 of the big tournament is tomorrow at 12:15. It is Minnesota and Louisville. So it is Richard Pitino against his dad's old team. And it's almost too bad that Rick isn't there, in a way, because it would be fun for Pitino versus Pitino. But
that would be the storyline, definitely.
Yeah. Minnesota versus Louisville at 12:15. That will kick off the 64. So that's when you have to have – so noon tomorrow is your deadline to get your bracket into 929thegame.com. On our website, click the contest tab in the upper right-hand corner when you go to 929thegame.com. Click the March Madness bracket and just fill out your bracket, and you can get bragging rights. I mean, come on, what do you got to lose? I mean, you want to have bragging rights, and we're going to be shouting out the leaders on Friday and Monday and Tuesday, so – it's $1,000. I get that. You know, I want to play for the $1 million one. Okay, go ahead. Play in bowls. You're not going to win the $1 million. You're probably not going to even win the $1,000. You just want bragging rights, don't you?
Well, I'm pretty sure somebody's won it, but that bracket challenge that they have at ESPN, that's a big thing. That's like, ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
Ridiculous.
At this 12:15 Minnesota Louisville, and the early games tomorrow, rather Thursday, include. LSU is playing at 12:40 against Yale. 1:30, Auburn plays against New Mexico State. Hey, that 1:30, isn't that the game that Deshaun said New Mexico State was going to beat Auburn?
I think he did. He did say that. I do remember that, right? I do remember, because I changed my pick because I had Auburn winning. And he was like, he thinks New Mexico State is going to be that upset. I do remember that one.
Let's see. What am I going to be missing that I have to watch Indiana and Arkansas in the NIC? Florida, Nevada. Fairleigh Dickinson and Gonzaga. Well, that'll be over in about a minute.
That's one that I would venture to say you probably don't even need to waste your time watching, because that's probably going to be a bludgeoning. No, you know what? I'll watch it because I want to see how Fairleigh Dickinson plays against a much bigger squad.
Kentucky plays Abilene Christian.
Good night. Kiss the baby.
Come on, who doesn't want Abilene Christian to beat Kentucky?
Somebody that goes to Abilene Christian.
Man, okay, all right, I give you that. A lot to get into today. Major League Baseball underway. The Mariners lead the A's 6-4 in the top of the fifth inning. It's been a grand slam already. This is the first game of the regular season. They're playing in Tokyo. This game, this time it counts. It actually does. Next up, some of the notes in the NFL. Including the Falcons. And do you hear about the deal that Bob Kraft was offered to stay out of jail with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92 on the game?
From Selection Sunday to the Big Dance, we cover it all because the NCAA plays here.
If I had described the playoffs in one word, the word would be precious.
Your home for March Madness is here.
For the win! Our exclusive coverage here. Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
The sounds of the National Football League. And they are still kind of echoing because we are now kind of in football. We still haven't finished free agency, as you know. And we are beginning the countdown now towards the NFL draft because we are less than a month away. We are, gosh, we're 3 weeks from the NFL draft. Hugh, it just occurs to me, 3 weeks to the NFL draft.
Yeah, 3 weeks away from a life-changing moment for a lot of young men out there. Life-changing.
Yeah, in Nashville on the 11th of April. And, of course, full coverage of the draft on 92.9 The Game live on draft night, as you know. And we'll have a countdown, the Hawks, the Falcons. Yeah, Hawks will have a top pick, too. Falcons have the 14th pick in the draft. Oh, you know, speaking of that, just before we get into this, earlier this morning, about, I don't know, half an hour ago or so, it was a Jarvis Davis sighting.
Yeah, Jarvis is on his way to Pro Day at UGA.
And then I saw Brian Gephardt. I guess maybe they're rolling up together.
Twinsies. They're going up there together.
Twinsies. Yeah, Twinsies.
Ebony and Ivory. They're going up there to get that sound and get some interviews and do what they do. Shout out to my man Jarvis Davis. What's up? Bright eyed. Him and Brian Gephardt. Bright eyed and bushy tailed.
I know. I was like, what in the world are you guys? It's like 6:51 a.m., not p.m. But they're going to Pro Day up in Athens.
You know, it's funny. We do this every day, and we see somebody that's up this early. We look at them like they're crazy. Like, what you doing up this early? You're crazy. Like, dude, we're up this early.
We've been up for 3 hours.
Yeah, we've been up for a while. So, yeah, it's one of those things. It's just funny. It's just funny that we respond to them like that.
And, of course, Dan Quinn, Thomas Dimitroff, going to be there checking out, Elijah Holyfield. Going to be really interesting, and we'll have a full report for you tomorrow about how does Elijah run, how does DeAndre Baker run. You know, what do those guys think of the Georgia Bulldogs? Because for whatever reason, Hugh, there are some Bulldogs fans who have been, I don't know, not angry, but they don't understand why the Falcons don't draft more Georgia Bulldogs.
Because they're probably not in a position to get the ones that most people are talking about.
Yeah, that's kind of what I
mean. There's 31 other teams out there, and if it might not fit what. Atlanta's trying to do. It's nothing personal. I'm pretty sure if they could, they would draft every good player that they possibly could.
Right.
For the Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah.
And it would make it easier, for some people to root for them, but it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, so Jarvis and Brian are rolling up there, and we'll have their reports tomorrow morning on the morning show with John and Hugh about what happens at the pro days and some of the results and what they think of these young players, because it'll be interesting. Again, D-Led says DeAndre Baker to the Falcons. I don't know that I'm buying that yet. I mean, I understand that the OG knows more about this than I do. He's closer to it. But I still think it's defensive tackle. I just do.
I think that, too. But the OG's been around the block a while, so I'm going to defer to him. I would put it like this. I wouldn't be that surprised if that was the case. But again, as we all know, John, on draft night, that could potentially change. It could potentially be – something could happen. He could go earlier, and then that changes what their draft plans are. So who knows?
Who knows? Right, exactly. You know, and we'll see. And we know that Thomas Dimitroff is not shy about trading up and trading down. So just because you have 14 at the moment doesn't mean that's where you're going to end up with. Got a lot of NFL notes that we're going through in the morning show this morning, talking about the league and talking about some of the big headlines in the league, including Bob Kraft. Now, I don't know if you saw this story yesterday, but basically what the Florida prosecutors did is they took – Bob Kraft, and they shoved him into a box. They have boxed him in.
Yes.
And they have made – there is no escape for Bob Kraft is going to look bad no matter what he chooses.
Well, the story is that they offered him a plea deal, but he has to plead guilty.
Right.
It was him and I think everybody else that was prosecuted, like 45 other guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not him. It's just that they have to be forthcoming with the evidence, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, so you don't go to jail, but you plead guilty that you did this, okay? And then you get there's a fine, there's 100 hours of community service, there's a bunch of stuff that goes with it, but you don't go to jail. Now, Kraft has said, no, I maintain my innocence. In other words, I went there for just a massage or I actually kind of love this woman, and there was no transaction.
from what my understanding, and I haven't seen it, I've done my diligence, and I've looked online for it. There is no tape or there is no video of the transaction.
Mm-hmm.
But the prosecutors say that they have video of the transaction.
Correct.
So he comes out and says that he's not guilty, but they say that he is, and now they offer him this plea deal. To be totally honest, John, I think he's not going to take it.
But here's the problem with that. Then it means he's got to go to court.
Yes.
And my understanding is the judge has already said the cameras will be allowed in court.
Yes. I think that this is my thinking, because you've already doubled down before this story escalated to the way that it has and said that you didn't do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You said that. And your philanthropic work and everything, that all the good things you've done in the past have come up. Because I read a story the other day. They were talking about Robert Kraft. You know, he's done some great things in his life. What went wrong?
Mm-hmm.
And things of that nature. So you're talking about your legacy now. And if you plead guilty, even though you might be guilty, your legacy is tarnished in his eyes. That's what I'm thinking. So he's probably going to try to fight this.
And he goes to court. Somebody pointed out, I think he goes to court, if I'm not mistaken, next week. And he goes to court on March 28th, which is 3/28. Which, if that's the case, that's...
Why'd you see, John? Why you are a glutton for punishment. You know that?
I know, but isn't it funny that that would be the date?
But you're a glutton for punishment, though.
3/28.
You know, only John Fricky can think about stuff like this. That is... That's crazy.
3/28. I'm just saying.
I think he's going to plead not guilty.
Well, he is, because he turned this down. He said, you know, I mean, I'm not going to accept guilt in this, because, as you said, it would tarnish his legacy. But then he's got to go to court. And my understanding is there are going to be cameras in court.
Yeah.
So are we going to be watching next week when Bob Kraft walks into a courtroom in Palm Beach County? Oh, I think so.
Yeah, if he goes. Yeah. And to see what he's going to plead.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, so that ought to be interesting. That'll be a talking point next week. We'll get into that. All right, I'm going to run through a couple of headlines. I'm going to do this quick. I'm going to throw a headline out to you, Hugh, and I'm going to give you 30 seconds to chop
to respond.
It up. Okay. Bruce Irvin signs with the Panthers.
Hometown discount wasn't all you was cracked up to be. Being at home wasn't all what you thought it was going to crack up to be. That was my thought about that, because we talked about a lot how, you know, being back home might mean a big deal for Bruce Irvin coming back to Atlanta and everything. Nah, Bruce Irvin going to get paid.
Clay Matthews is back in the NFL, but he's with the L.A. Rams.
I was surprised at that. I know that his numbers had declined over the last few years, but he's been asked. Clay Matthews is one of those linebackers that is asked to do more than just rush the passer. He played a lot of middle linebacker last year. I think he ended up on the year with 2.5 or maybe was 3.5 sacks on the whole year. But Clay Matthews was asked to play middle linebacker, and he's been asked on more than one occasion to play different multiple positions out there on the field. So I think that he's still a good player. Good job for him going back to L.A.
Cardinals and their owner are going to meet with Kyler Murray. Head fake or number one pick?
I think he's going to be the number one pick. I think that if I'm Josh Rosen, I'm trying to figure out where I'm going. And plus, I think I heard – it was a story I read a couple weeks ago, John, that they dropped the prices of his jersey sales in Arizona. So that's, I think all signs are pointing that Josh Rosen is going to be out of there in Arizona.
Josh Rosen to the Giants or the Patriots?
I would say Patriots. I don't think the Giants. I think the Giants want to draft a fresh face young quarterback. I think they're going to ride with Eli maybe 1, maybe 2 years, and they're going to try to draft somebody else.
Vontaze Burfict joins, of all teams, the Oakland/Las Vegas Raiders and is with Antonio Brown, of all players, as a teammate. All right, let me stop for a second. If you don't remember, go just Google search Antonio Brown, Vontaze Burfict, and some of the violence that took place between the Bengals and the Steelers.
And they're teammates
on
now.
Multiple occasions.
They're teammates now. And they have to get along. I think it's a great thing. What two better players to go play for the Black Hole than those two? I mean, he's a Raider. Like, that does not surprise. When you think of Vontaze Burfict and his past, him being a Raider, that's not surprising. I mean, let's be honest. I guarantee you, at Raider fans are looking at him, and they're having flashes of what Lyle Alzado, Big John Matusak, and all them other cats that used to play way back in the day. That you heard that the whole Howie Long, the whole Raider mystique thing got started with those guys. Yeah, they're probably thinking that.
John Gruden doing this right?
Is he doing it right? I think that remains to be seen, John. I think the consensus would say no, because he's been so far away from the game, but it remains to be seen. Got to give him a chance. He knows football. I've seen him do some great things. He won a Super Bowl, beat us, go to the Super Bowl, so it remains to be seen.
Yeah, and of course, you know, this is going to be interesting to see. They're going to play 2 more years in Oakland and then move to the Strip in Las Vegas into that swanky $2 billion stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. Just some of the NFL headlines this morning as we get ready for the draft in 3 weeks from now. And with the Cardinals meeting with Kyler Murray, It is getting to be a foregone conclusion, as you said, and I tend to echo his sentiments about Josh Rosen. And I see Josh Rosen as a perfect fit for the Patriots because he can go play behind Tom Brady for a couple of years, and he doesn't have to carry the load, and he can learn all he learns from Brady. And who knows, maybe he can go on TB12. I have no idea, you know. Get a house with a moat. Marry a supermodel. Beats hell out of me. All right, here's a question. Falcoholic actually pointed this out yesterday, so I'll give him credit. Apparently, a number of Falcon season ticket holders have gotten a survey from the team asking the ticket holders, should we bring back the Dirty Bird? Should we bring back the dance? Is that something you'd want to do as a Falcons fan? Do you want to bring back the Dirty Bird? That's next with John and Hugh on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From Selection Sunday to the Big Dance, we cover it all because the NCAA plays here.
If I had described the playoffs in one word, the word would be precious.
Your home for March Madness is here.
For the win. Oh! It's our exclusive coverage here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Morning show on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. John and Hugh from the Kia Studios. NFL Draft is 3 weeks away. And as we get ready for what the Falcons are going to do in the NFL draft, there was I was looking at the Falcoholic yesterday, and they said, should we bring back the Dirty Bird? And I thought, why would you want to do that? And apparently the team has sent out a questionnaire to some of its season ticket holders, maybe all of them, asking that, among other things, asking whether or not the Dirty Bird ought to come back. Back in 1998, Jamal Anderson, who had a phenomenal year that year and that incredible run towards the Super Bowl, started dancing this Dirty Bird thing that he did, I guess, in college at Utah, he and O.J. Santiago, and it caught on. It was the big dance, you know, kind of flap your wings like a chicken and, you know, strut around. It was called the Dirty Bird, right? And some of the fans really, I mean, it was a big thing in town, no question. They were doing the Dirty Bird. But do you think you can capture the past again? Is that something you can bring just automatically back?
You know what? When I was looking at this story and I was reading through it, I honestly thought it was the mascot. I thought the mascot, they were talking about bringing back the mascot.
Oh, not Freddy the Falcon?
Well, yeah, I thought Freddy, I was like, wait, that's what got me confused. Oh, wait a minute. Is there a different mascot than Freddy? Like the Dirty Bird mascot? I thought it was a Dirty Bird mascot.
Oh, I got you.
You know what I mean? Because the more I thought about it, I was like, okay, are you bringing back Jamal Anderson? Are you bringing him back?
No.
I think that is something that's specific to that time.
Mm-hmm.
And if it was a mascot of something, I would say yes. But what are you going to do? You're going to make Julio Jones, when he scores a touchdown, you're going to make him do the Dirty Bird?
I mean, I know Julio's done it. But
is it going to be like a mandatory touchdown?
No, but see, I mean, I wouldn't mind. If they hadn't asked, okay, and Julio or somebody had done it, Calvin Ridley had done it this year, and it kind of re-caught on, I wouldn't have minded it if it would have been organic. You know what I'm saying?
I would probably ask the question, in what capacity?
You know?
Because I think most people think of the Dirty Bird as a dance.
It is a dance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I would have to ask the Atlanta Falcons, are you talking about like another mascot? Or are you talking about...
Right, I guess.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because... Yeah. That was something that was special to that time period. I remember that.
Right.
That was the year, that was the Super Bowl run.
Right.
That Super Bowl run year. And I remember when all that went down, because I think we came down here and played Atlanta. And I remember him doing the dance all over the place. I think when they scored the last touchdown, because it was a low scoring game. But yeah, that's an era. That is an era.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I thought. I mean, if they hadn't asked and it had just sort of been organic, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. But, I mean, I think back to some of the great, you know, things, because that team also had the Bob Squad. You know, that was that defense. That was, you know, Jesse the Hammer Tuggle and, you know, that club that, you know, was putting it on, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the pass rush that they had, which was great, obviously, back in that time. Of course, not the greatest pass rush we ever had. The greatest pass rush we ever had, for those of you who don't remember, was way back in the day, and I do remember Greg Buzina and Roland Lawrence and Ortega and Claude Humphrey, Ralph Ortega and all those guys. That was the Grits Blitz in 1977. And Jerry Glanville, who was a young coach, comes in and puts in this thing called basically what the Falcons did was they blitzed on every single down. They came from everywhere, so you never knew where they were coming from.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved that defense because it was attack. Attack, attack, attack. And I love attack defenses. I don't like sit and react defenses. I love attack defenses. But you can't reclaim the grit splits. You can't reclaim the bomb squad. That was a certain bunch of guys. If they had let the Dirty Bird be organic, maybe you could have reclaimed it. Having said all that, I want to kind of spin this around a little bit and ask you a different question. Do you think that this team needs a new edge? In other words, has Rise Up and Brotherhood played itself out?
I think that in some circles, it has become a little bit of a running joke. Because you think about it like this, John. The franchise tagging of Grady Jarrett is not brotherhoodish. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Mm-hmm. That's not a brotherhoodish move. Now, I understand it. When you talk about making moves as an organization and as a company, yes, it makes perfect sense. But that's the issue that is with every franchise in every major sport. Because in order for you to have success, there has to be something that guys have to buy into. And the brotherhood is a great concept because you do have to have a brotherhood and camaraderie in order to reach your ultimate goal. But what throws that off is when you have to start making business decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in some circles, some of the business decisions that the Falcons have made doesn't make you feel brotherhoodish, but that's the nature of the beast. So I think in some circles it has worn itself thin. But in Flowery Branch, where it matters the most, I don't think so. I don't think so.
Well, because back in the Super Bowl year, you know, everybody was into Rise Up. We had the Samuel L. Jackson thing going on.
Yes.
You know, we were singing the song in the locker room. You couldn't do an interview in the locker room without the word brotherhood coming out. They had three ping pong tables going. There was a sense of camaraderie on that team. That team had an identity. Trying to force that identity onto whatever this team is going to be this year is probably the wrong move. This team needs to come up with its own identity. It cannot be done by a survey. It can't be done by, you know, somebody like Dan Quinn saying, you got to do this. The brotherhood was organic. It's got to be organic. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I think the reason why that's why I have so many questions about this survey, because it's kind of hard. I didn't see it. We're going off of what we heard in the Falcoholic. And it's asking people, do they want to bring the Dirty Bird back? I would ask, in what capacity?
Mm-hmm.
And what do we mean? Are we going to have a different mascot? Are we going to put, a gold tooth on Freddy the Falcon?
Are we going to change the uniforms? Are we going to go back to the black uniforms?
Yeah.
You know?
What are we going to do? What are we going to do with Freddy the Falcon? We're going to make him wear a hat to the side? Who knows? That's the question that I would ask.
Mm-hmm. You know, and right, and I mean, and I know that some of the people on the Solomon Brothers Diamond Text Line are saying stuff like, you know, yes or no, don't bring back the Dirty Bird. One person said, you got to bring back the black uniforms, which I would almost agree with. They're not my favorite uniforms. I'm a red hat guy, okay? I'm a red hat Falcon guy. But I can understand why, if you're going to do the Dirty Bird, they got to look like the Dirty Birds, which, you know, give me the silver britches. Let's start there, and then we'll go from there. And so with the Falcons now, it's got to be organic. Whatever this team's identity is, my point to you is, I think this team is no longer, and I don't know that they'll listen to me at Flowery Branch, I don't think it's Rise Up, and I don't think it's, if it's Brotherhood, that's fine, but this team needs its own thing. They need something new.
I didn't have a thought process on Rise Up. I think that's, Rise Up is here to stay. That's one of those ones, John, that's just here to stay. Brotherhood, that's the one that I think kind of is rubbing people the wrong way, because after the fall at the Super Bowl, we bought back into the Falcons, and it didn't kind of go the way we wanted to.
Right.
And then the carryover was the following year we just had. It didn't work out. So I think some people are kind of tired of the brotherhood a little bit.
So I hope they come up with their own, and it's got to be organic, and it's got to come from the guys. The Dirty Bird came from the guys. The Bob Squad came from the guys. Grit Splits came from the team. It wasn't out there and market tested with the fans. That's all I'm saying. Because you can't force it on the team. The team's got to have its own identity. When the chop happened for the Braves, it was organic. It was Dion. All right, speaking of the Braves, I've got a list here of 10 things that have to go right for the Braves this year for them to win the division again. 10 things have to go right. Do you agree with the list? I'll tell you what it is next with John and Hugh on the morning show on Sports Radio 92 on the Game and 92 on the game.com.